Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 8, day 3 of our study of Judges. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs. Today we're talking about Judges 16, 1 through 14. Welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. Again, I am your host, Darren Hibbs. And if you've ever had any questions or comments about the 10-week Bible study podcast or just the 10-week Bible study in general, I'd love to hear from you. Reach out to me by sending an email to me@darrenhibbs.com, or you can click on the show notes and the description to find any of my other contact information. All right, with that, let's go ahead and pray before we start today. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today, God? Speak to us. Come and touch our hearts. Fill us with the knowledge of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, with that, let's go ahead and jump into God's Word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Judges chapter 16, starting in verse 1. One day, Samson went to Gaza, where he saw a prostitute. He went in to spend the night with her. The people of Gaza were told, "Samson is here." So they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the city gate. And they made no move during the night, saying, "At dawn, we'll kill him." But Samson lay there only until the middle of the night. Then he got up and took hold of the doors of the city gate, together with the two posts, and tore them loose, bar and all. He lifted them to his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. Okay, so just right off the bat, there's just so much wrong going on here. Again, Samson just seems to find whatever he can do to break break all the rules. I mean, he has already repeatedly, we've seen him, break the covenant, break the vow, the Nazirite vow that he has from birth until death. He's done that wantonly, it seems. And here he's just breaking all kind of societal norms and Jewish customs and Jewish law. Like this is strictly forbidden. We cannot be doing this kind of thing. And he's going to go see a prostitute. This is just wrong in every kind of way. But that night, he does he takes care of business here. And then in the middle of the night, he realizes what's going to happen. So he gets up and he goes knowing somehow that they're at the city gate. I don't understand how he seems to know this. Maybe he sees them there. He gets up in the middle of the night and they're all asleep, laying there thinking they're going to wake up in the morning. I'm not entirely sure how this happens, but he gets up and he goes, and just to show them, I mean, they're all sitting there, right? They are all at the city gate. They're waiting for him. He catches them asleep or he somehow sneaks past them. I really don't know how this worked, but they're all at the city gate. It's obvious that he sees them there. And so what does he do to prove to them that they can't touch him? He rips the gates off of the doorposts. I mean, these gates for any ancient city, I mean, they weren't, if you've got in mind that, some 50-foot tall gate, they're not that big, but they're probably 8-10 feet tall. I mean, you got to imagine they're big enough, just big enough to let through probably camels or carts, ox carts, things like that, goods that are going to be coming into the city. So they're not massive by, future standards to this, medieval or whatever, but they're also not the size of the front door on a house. And not only that, I mean, the city gates, they're designed to keep enemies out. They're the kind of thing that an invading army wants to come up and rip off of the door hinges. They're not able to do that. Invading armies are not able to come up and put a battering ram up to these things. They're supposed to be that kind of strong. But Samson comes up by himself, picks them both up and rips them off of the posts and then carries them with him right in front of all of these people that are asleep or looking the other way or something. And he does this in front of all of them. And then he carries them as a trophy over to the hill facing Hebron and sets them up there so that the people of Judah will know what's happened. Now, it seems obvious to me that when he rips these things off, all of these Philistines that are there asleep, they see this and he's putting on a show for them just to make it clear, you can't touch me. I'm not afraid of you and you can't touch me. Such a bizarre thing, because his supernatural strength is from God, and God honors that supernatural strength even in the midst of this kind of failure. God gives his gifts without apology. And Samson is a caricature of all of us, if we're honest, if we look at this. I'm not saying that every single one of us has, you know, gone to be with a prostitute. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that if God only gifted those of us who were perfect, those of us who didn't have sin, he wouldn't gift any of us. He wouldn't give gifts to any of us if that was the standard. And so we look at Samson and we see all of his failures. And you know, some people may look at Samson and be like, that's nothing. That's nothing. I got far worse on my rap sheet. And a lot of people in church may look at Samson and say, you know what? He's a terrible person. God, I'm offended at why you gifted him. But we all should look at Samson and see that God gives his supernatural gifts. God gives his love. God gives his forgiveness to people who do not deserve it. That's you and me. It's definitely Samson here. Our narrator, our author here is making it very clear that Samson did not deserve this, but God gave it anyway. That's what we're seeing here. All right, continue on verse 4. Sometime later, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, see if you can lure him into showing you the secret of his great strength and how he can overpower him so that we may tie him up and subdue him. Each one of us will give you 1,100 shekels of silver. Now, there are five rulers of the Philistines, and what this equates to when you look at, you know, scholars on this, is I think a lot of scholars will say this equated to roughly something around $60,000 worth of silver in today's money. But that's just looking at the spot price of silver today. That's not actually looking at the real value that silver carried in that day. So this is probably in the range of maybe $200,000, $250,000. So it's not a small sum of money. They're going to make Delilah not wealthy, wealthy. I mean, you know, this is some pretty good walking around money, but this isn't set you up for all eternity kind of money. This is, you know, again, it's a lot of money, but it's not, they're not giving her $10 million or something like that. You know, I think that it's somewhere between $100,000 to $250,000 worth of silver. If we were to just be trading in today's currency, it's somewhere in that neighborhood. So again, it's a lot of money. And for someone probably in poverty, I mean, she's not a ruler of the Philistines. She's in destitute poverty. Most people were back then. It's going to be an unthinkable amount of money, but it's not going to be probably enough money to set her up for the rest of her life. Maybe close, maybe keep her in better than poverty for the rest of her life, but she's not becoming a queen by any means based off of this amount of money. All right, continue on verse 6. So Delilah said to Samson, tell me the secret of your great strength and how you can be tied up and subdued. Samson answered her, if anyone ties me up with 7 fresh bowstrings that have not been dried, I'll become as weak as any other man. Okay. Here is where the Lord's patience is going to run out with Samson, or going to begin to run out with Samson. Samson is beginning to play with fire here. Samson, you know, went to be with the prostitute. That was bad enough, but he came back to the Philistines and he's now taken a woman, and he's not married to Delilah. He's been married to a Philistine woman before. That didn't go so well. So now he's just shacking up with Delilah. So again, we're just, you know, mounting, you know, sin and failure on top of sin and failure. I mean, not only is he shacking up with a woman, he's shacking up with a Philistine woman, strictly forbidden by the Lord for an Israelite to do this. Yet he's doing this anyway. He's not married to her. They're just living together. And not only that, I mean, and here we have to understand some time has passed now from the incident with the prostitute. I mean, it's not like this all happened within a couple of days of each other. We should probably understand. I mean, we don't know for certain because it didn't tell us. But if you're just kind of thinking reasonably, what would feel kind of normal, if you're just thinking about this in terms of real life, I think you're going to sign some months to this. Some months later, he goes and finds Delilah, and then he's been living with her for some time, probably on a regular basis, taunting the Philistines. And so the Philistines finally come to Delilah and say, hey, we'll give you a lot of money if you can figure out how we can subdue Samson. Like, where is this supernatural strength coming from? And again, Samson is not some Arnold Schwarzenegger muscle bound kind of guy. He's a normal little Jewish guy with supernatural strength. That's why they're asking this, not looking at some guy with muscles on top of muscles saying, hey, what's the secret of his strength? He looks like them, if not even like less than them. And they want to know, where does the supernatural strength come from? They know it's supernatural. And they want the answer to this. They want the secret. And so Samson starts playing along. Samson is going to mess with Delilah, and he's going to mess with the Philistines. He's a bright guy. He's got a lot of moral failings, a lot of problems, but he's a bright guy. He knows what's going on here. And so he's going to mess with her, but really he's messing with the Philistines. And he knows that. Continuing on verse 8. Then the rulers of the Philistines brought her several fresh bowstrings that had not been dried, and she tied him with them. With men hidden in the room, she called to him, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. But he snapped the bowstrings as easily as a piece of string snaps when it comes close to a flame. So the secret of his strength was not discovered. So, I mean, think about this. Think about the trust issues that Samson should be having with Delilah here. Like, he knows what's going on. He knows that she's been put up to this. I'm wondering if he knows that they're in the room while he's falling asleep and he just doesn't care. And she ties him up with this bowstring. I can't imagine that she ties him up and he's actually staying asleep. It really does seem like he's just playing with it. I mean, he was definitely asleep when he started. She's tying up his hands and he's there trying not to snicker with his hands being tied. And then she shouts, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And he wakes up and he rips them like a flame burned him in two. And then he, you know, I don't know if he drove them out, he just beat them up or just scared them. It's not clear exactly what happened, but they're probably terrified of this. And they know that Samson knows what's going on here, that he was messing with all of them. So again, some time is going to pass. This is not happening, you know, 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, 4 day, this whole affair here. This is not happening over just a few days. This is probably happening over some months or maybe even years that this is going on where, you know, Delilah, if I were her, I would be terrified of Samson after this. If I were the Philistines, I would be terrified of Samson after this. It's going to be a long time, if I'm the Philistines, before I go to Delilah again, because they're probably going to be like, I'm not sure if Delilah's messing with us or Samson's messing with us, but you know, they're shacked up. And so maybe we shouldn't trust Delilah to give us this information. Something's weird about the whole situation here, but they're going to wait a while. After some time, we don't know how long, we come into verse 10. Then Delilah said to Samson, you have made a fool of me. You lied to me. Come now, tell me how you can be tied. So this, you know, her saying you made a fool of me, you know, probably happens immediately, presumably, but then it's going to be a while again before she pulls this again. Verse 11, he said, if anyone ties me securely with new ropes that have never been used, I'll become as weak as any other man. Now, this is the thing that the people of Judah did to Samson when they turned him over to the Philistines. The first time, they tied him with brand new ropes. Maybe that was his suggestion. Maybe that's just something they decided to do. But Samson remembers this and he's like, oh, yeah, you know, if you tie me with new, he knows it's not going to work. He knows it's not going to work. He's messing with her again, but he tells her this anyway. So Delilah took the new ropes, verse 12, and tied him with them. Then the men hidden in the room, she called to him, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. But he snapped the ropes off of his arms as if they were threads. So again, it doesn't tell us if he beats them up or if he just gives them a scare and says, you know, pulls his hands apart and says, boo. We don't know what he does. But he's messing with all of them again. So Delilah's going to come back and she's going to be mad at Samson But again, I believe some time is passing in between each one of these attempts. Verse 13. Delilah then said to Samson, all this time you've been making a fool of me and lying to me. Tell me how you can be tied. And she says, all of this time. So we know that time is passing here. So if you just think of this story as happening in 4 days' time, it's a little incredulous. So if you kind of think of this in terms of real life, there's some amount of time going on here. And it will eventually make more sense when we see that Samson is worn out with Delilah. He is just completely fed up with her nagging and her griping and her complaining. It's going to be some amount of time. I think maybe even a year is passing in this story here in this chapter. All right, continuing on. Delilah replied to Samson, all this time you've been making a fool of me and lying to me. Tell me how you can be tied. He replied, if you weave the 7 braids of my head into the fabric on the loom and tighten it with the pin, I'll become as weak as any other man. I want to pause right there. He's getting awfully close to the truth. Do you see that? He's getting awfully close to the truth here. He's told her about his hair. And we know here that he's got 7 braids, this ridiculously long hair. You know, he's saying it's really my hair. It's my hair. If you weave, you know, my hair into a loom, that's going to work. At this point, if I'm the Philistines, I'm like, really, is this really the thing that's going to do it? Like how many times are we going to let him mess with us? But they're going to go for it. Continuing on. So while he was sleeping, Delilah took the 7 braids of his head, wove them into the fabric and tightened it with a pin. Again, she called to him, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He woke from his sleep and pulled up the pin of the loom with the fabric. So again, Samson has got to have some serious trust issues with her. And the Philistines have got to have some serious trust issues with her as well. This is such a bizarre story, right? And I have a hard time imagining that she did this while he was asleep, that he's really actually asleep. I almost wonder if he's awake saying, yeah, just go ahead and tie my hair up into this pins. Let's let the Philistines try again. Let's see if this works. And for some reason she does it. Like, honestly, I have a hard time putting myself into this story. I always try as best as I can to put myself in one of these stories to make it as real to me as possible. But this is so far beyond, you know, Jerry Springer or whatever people watch nowadays. That's, you know, crazy, dysfunctional, weird family situations. This thing, it is so hard for me to relate to how this is happening, how this is working, because I don't understand what's going through Samson's mind, other than he's so far gone in his own sin and maybe depression and whatever else, that he's allowing this and he thinks it's fun, it's sport. Whatever's going on here, it's really bad, but we can see the progression. He's getting real close now. He's told her about his hair. That's a bad sign. That's a really bad sign. But we're done for today. We're going to see where it really turns against him tomorrow. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs. I'm really happy that you've joined me again for today. Again, if you have any questions or comments, any like more information about the 10-week Bible study, please don't hesitate to reach out to me. But for the 10-week Bible study, I am your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.